basically, we still count this case as a case of paralytic shellfish poisoning.
State health officials still classify an Upper Lynn Canal death as a PSP case, with autopsy results showing a different cause of death. And major road work wraps up for the season. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Alaska health officials still classify two recent deaths in southeast Alaska as paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP, cases, although recent autopsy results point to another cause of death in at least one of the victims. 57-year-old Mike Saunders died at his home in Haines in late June, a day after being released from Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital. Doctors said he showed symptoms consistent with paralytic shellfish poisoning, like numbness and tingling, after eating crab caught near Haines. The poisoning is caused by toxins concentrated in bivalve shellfish like geoducks, oysters, snails, scallops, clams, and mussels. But it's more uncommon to experience PSP symptoms after eating crab. At the time, both Mike and his wife Kate had doubts about the clinical diagnosis. Months later, Kate received the autopsy results that indicated a different cause of death.
They say in the autopsy that it revealed the cause of death to be severe coronary artery atherosclerosis, in other words, heart disease.
The medical examiner's office wrote that the urine test for toxins associated with PSP came out negative, but the report further stated that the examiner could not totally exclude poisoning as the cause of death, but that the death was best classified as natural due to heart disease.
He had said that maybe the whole thing initially on that Friday night after eating crab triggered all this other stuff, but at the same time it didn't really matter what the trigger was because he had shown signs of so many previous heart attacks and damage from them that it was just a matter of time before there's going to be a trigger because 80 to 90% of his heart was damaged.
The Department of Health and Social Services calls that a suspected case of PSP, says spokesman Greg Wilkinson.
So basically, we still count this case as a case of paralytic shellfish poisoning. With this case, we had the patient showing initial symptoms that are consistent with paralytic shellfish poisoning. We showed that the patient had consumed something that had the possibility of containing PSP, not the Dungeness crab meat, but if the patient really did was eating the butter or drinking some of the juices or had eaten parts of the crabs that might have been contaminated with the viscera, then certainly that adds to the case. So symptoms, the fact that he ate something that may have contained PSP, that qualifies it as a suspected case of paralytic shellfish poisoning.
The week before Saunders' death, a woman in Juneau died of cardiopulmonary arrest at Bartlett Regional Hospital after showing symptoms associated with PSP. She had eaten cockles gathered in Auk Bay that later tested positive for dangerous levels of the poisonous toxins. Alternatively, crab tested near the area where Saunders' crab came from showed harmless levels of PSP. Wilkinson says because of those results in Juneau, the woman's case was classified as a confirmed PSP case.
We define our cases in one of three ways, either suspected, as probable, or as confirmed.
Meanwhile, Kate Saunders says having more clarification about her husband's death is comforting.
Oh, it's relief that there's so many people that were feeling horrible about this because they felt some responsibility to have that burden lifted from them. It's a great relief.
A Mike Saunders Youth Activity Fund is set up through a link at alaskacf.org. Saunders hopes the money will go toward new playground equipment at the Haines Elementary School.
Mike was very passionate about wanting a good playground for the children, and so as soon as school starts and they finish what work they currently have going on, we'll see what's still needed and check into the possibility.
Road resurfacing in Haines is complete for the season, say local Department of Transportation workers.
Today is our last day. We're just wrapping up, and that's going to be about it for the year. Just be back to regular regular hours and regular maintenance stuff here at this station.
Matthew Boron explains that the recent chip sealing on parts of the Haines Highway and Lutac, Small Tracks, and Mud Bay roads is preventative maintenance that'll extend the life of the surface an estimated 5 to 10 years.
It is asphalt oil. We spray a thin layer of asphalt oil down and then use a chip spreader to spread rock chips, which is like a 3/8 minus rock chip, into the oil. And then the oil then hardens and pretty much just creates a wear surface. So our new wear surface takes the brunt of everything instead of the asphalt underneath. It's just a preservation project.
The thin oil also fills in craters and cracks in the road. The work temporarily closed sections of major routes throughout town over the last few weeks.
We did all of Lutac out past the ferry, and we did all of Mud Bay, and that would be pretty much, that was chip seal on top of chip seal. And then for asphalt preservation, we covered Small Tracks, and then we did various spots up the Haines Highway, just some of the worst areas where we were having cracking and water damage. So probably about 7 miles total of here and there up the Haines Highway. And then your smaller side roads like Sawmill Road and Piedad, those are all just chip seal. There's no actual asphalt on those at all.
The Haines Department of Transportation office generally has 5 employees in the summer and 6 in the winter, but was supplemented with a larger crew of 15 for the recent work.
We had a big crew in town to do the chip sealing, and when weather didn't permit us to do that, we just did a lot of preventive maintenance. We put miles of new guardrail up and did a lot of vegetation control. The cottonwood trees and stuff like that are getting out of control up the highway, and we were able to remove a lot of that. So we got a lot of preventative maintenance done all around town in addition to the chip sealing.
The crew also recently installed a new deck on the Klaheeny River Bridge at Porcupine Crossing.
The boards were just rotten, the running planks, not the structural part of the bridge, but the running planks were all rotten and tore up, and so it got a new running surface.
On Monday, Haines author Dan Henry presents the newest chapter of his book, Dancing at Deer Rock. It's about a past Haines art collector who was also at one time a hunting guide for Theodore Roosevelt.
This is the latest chapter in a series of works I've been working on for the last couple of years about Native white interaction in the Chilkat Valley, the Upper Lynn Canal. And Monday night, I'll be talking about Lewis Shotridge, who was probably the most famous person out of Haines. He was an art collector. He was grandson of Kokluks, the great chief in Kluckwan. He was a linguist who worked with Franz Boas. He was a hunting guide for Teddy Roosevelt. He sang in an opera for Kaiser Wilhelm in Berlin, all kinds of crazy things. And he came from Haines, and I will be talking about his efforts in Haines to acquire some of the most valuable artifacts on the North American continent, namely the Whale House artifacts.
Monday's gathering at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center is a discussion among Northern Lynn Canal residents, as well as a presentation before the chapter is published. It's currently available online at sheldonmuseum.org.
It's a combination of things. There's some lecture, there's some stop and discuss, there are visual aids, we've got a bunch of slides we're going to show, and I really encourage people just to come out partly to be educated about that process, but also to throw in their 2 cents worth and to discuss the dynamics of Native art in the Upper Lynn Canal. And this goes for, you know, this affects Skagway as well.
The talk will also cover Shotridge's lasting influence on the local Native art world.
And also, I talked a little bit about this in the last talk about a month ago, but we'll get more into the motivations behind Lewis Shotridge's efforts to take the quote-unquote objects of great weight from the Chilkat Valley. And we'll also be looking at contemporary reverberations of those efforts. So I've talked with a lot of artists who currently work in the Chilkat Valley, and so their voices will be added to the art controversy, the dynamics, let's say, of making Native art in the Upper Lynn Canal.
The presentation of the book chapter about Lewis Shotridge and the acquisition of Tlingit cultural artwork is Monday, August 16th at 7 p.m. at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haines. The Golden Circle was the chosen testing grounds recently for a new Kia vehicle. Test drivers reviewed the latest Kia Sportage on a drive from Whitehorse to Skagway, then on to Haines Junction. Reviews say the Golden Circle was more of a triangle, really, circumnavigating the neighborhood of the Klondike Gold Rush. Drivers wrote they were impressed by the condition of the road, thinking there would be frost heaves that would make it feel like Canada's Wonderland ride. They guessed maybe it was because there isn't much truck traffic on the roads. But they complained about the condition of the Alcan from Haines Junction to Whitehorse, saying there were lots of deep swells and trucks who passed them. Drivers reviewing the new vehicle also complained that the new car, a $22,000 compact utility vehicle, looks better in the showroom because it's really susceptible to road dirt and is impossible to see when obscured by the road dirt that instantly covers it. Kind of like every other vehicle driving the Golden Circle. This is Tara Bicknell reporting for KHNS News. It's your news. If you have an idea for a story, send us an email. We're at news@khns.org. Thanks for listening.